And the special edition with Stephen Quayle, 2 hours now of your phone calls as we continue to talk about Stephen's views of what's going on worldwide here on Coast to Coast Day Out. Stephen, any more microbiologists disappearing off the planet?
Just the latest ones that I posted a couple weeks ago. But one of the things that's interesting, George, I just got an email from some people who are listening that I think you'll find this very interesting, okay? This is what's kind of the nice thing about talk radio, and you've got to use discernment, but here's something, deep background information from the different intelligence agency sources, and obviously some of those guys, I'd say every one of them is listening tonight, that the president may have secret executive order or a presidential decision directive changed so that the presidential succession order to jump some of his staff and the Secretary of Defense over the current constitutional succession order. Here's what's happening. The Constitution, even under the Bush reign of terror, and those are my opinion now, to these guys, it has no meaning, okay? Just like the Bill of Rights. Your Bill of Rights is only in your mind nowadays because the power of the gun, and obviously you've seen maybe the Apache gunship firing on the Iraqi kids and the Reuters thing. The thing that I think people are losing track of is that there is a way this country was run, and now there's a way it's being overrun. These same people are saying that under the current president, no usage of open source material for intel agencies, only official positions and analysis approved by him are allowed. All others are forbidden. And then there's an extensive internal purge going on to ferret out any of the good guys, those are the Constitution guys who believe in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Lord, to either get allegiance to his policies, compliance, or the good guys face loss of jobs, pensions, and some have been set up on bogus charges and convicted, and some have been sanctioned, as in assassinated, as in terminated with extreme prejudice. Remember, Roland Carnaby is all I have to say here. This must be somebody that was connected. Roland Carnaby was a CIA station chief in, I think, Houston, Houston, Texas. And someone, they ordered a hit on him, and he ended up being, I believe, assassinated, of course, and some of the local police were in on it. In other words, they covered it up. So what we're seeing is the abrogation of the Constitution. What we're seeing is the abrogation of the Bill of Rights. What we're seeing is basically due process done in. What we're seeing is the expansion of a definition of a terrorist, and Alex Jones has done a wonderful job on the MIAC report. But Alex is getting frustrated too. The thing is that it's, you can give all this information. It's just like, you know, when I footnote in my Giants book, 600, I don't know, footnotes or whatever, and then somebody says, oh, I don't believe it. Well, you know, you want to say, so what's the basis of your unbelief? Well, it doesn't sound right. Well, what have you ever done to look into it? You see, what I'm saying is the thing that scares me the most over anything is the fact that people get the kind of leadership they cry out for. And that's what I'm really I'm really concerned with, because, again, if you have no hope for the future, what do you have? You have only present-day consumption and present-day whatever pleasure. And the thing is, the spirit of lawlessness means when each man does that which is right in his own sight. And so when you take away the old foundations, and one of my listeners, or forgive me, your listeners, our listeners listening to me tonight, said, remember, Steve, the thing that, thank you, Kathy, the thing was that made America great, there was at least a reverence for God. Everybody could have disagreed, but there was an acknowledgement that there was a higher authority than their own self-will and rebellion. That's gone now. And it says that in the end times that the spirit of lawlessness is going to go on the land. And what I am convinced of is the same practices that the giants and the others practiced. First of all, the giants were all cannibals. I told you I was contacted by one of the major studios. They wanted to do an which I didn't do. They wanted to do an adaptation of one of my books and make the giants all good guys, okay? I said, I got news for you. Someone basically takes you as an hors d'oeuvre and bites you in half probably isn't that friendly. So the thing is that, you know, we've got some disassociations with reality. That's a nice way of saying it. We've got some people that would be better to take their head out of the sand. That's a really nice way of saying it. And see that it doesn't matter that they can make a statement like, well, nothing's changed in this country. Everything has changed in this country. And I'm surprised that the denialists are having such a hard time with this. I had one guy said, well, I used to think you were crazy until I tried to go to my bank and get some money. I said, gee, so it took money to get your attention. I think we're going into the prophetic period where, just as in the book of Exodus, excuse me, the end of Genesis going into Exodus, it's when the money fails, it totally fails, I'm talking paper money now, that people will be forced literally into the wilderness and they'll be running for their lives. And it's a very dire, and see, here's the thing. If you can warn a person not to go to the edge cliff or to stand back from the edge cliff, maybe you can keep them from going over. And if you can show them a route down that's even safer, or a route up that's even more, let's say this, easily acquired, then you're doing them a favor. But I'm afraid that the mass media is so boondoggled, and I think, wasn't our word called boonswaggled or something? In other words, they've deceived them to such a degree that most people don't realize they're on the edge of the cliff, and all it's going to take is a gentle wind or a gentle push, and they're over the cliff. And I'm talking financially, I'm talking with their hope, their future, and their freedom. And if people don't think freedom's important, ask any of the amazing immigrants that fled the regimes, you know, that forced them to come to this country, and now they say, I got to go back to my own country. And someone says, well, if it's so bad, why don't you leave? Until God tells me to leave, I'm staying. And if people, I just tell people, they say, what should I do, leave or stay? I say, do what you feel is right to do. And there are people that listen to this show right now that are your listeners, longtime listeners, George, that live all over the world because they chose to leave.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dave, Beverly Hills, California, first-time caller. David, you're on with Stephen Quayle. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Steve, you are a genius. I think the people are brainwashed, and I'd like to make two points. One
sure.
being training manual number 2000-25, published by the War Department, November 30th, 1928, defined a democracy and a republic. And if you ask the majority of the people now, they think we're a democracy. And that falls into a dictatorship, which I'm concerned about with our current situation. The other point is Executive Order 1110 by JFK backing our currency and ending the Federal Reserve, basically, or splintering it. And I think that will save our constitutional republic. And we need to, or we're going to fail in democracies again. Always lead to a dictatorship.
Well,
the other thing would be the chemtrails. I'm sorry.
All right, that's right.
One last point. And I want to know, you mentioned something earlier about for the giants to come back and Atira. There's a thing called VTRPE, Variable Terrain Radio Parabolic Equation. I encourage everybody to look it up. And also on Facebook, Stop the Spraying. Group page, fan page. There's a lot of information on the program. And thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time.
Let's take the Federal Reserve first, Stephen. Your thoughts on that. Kennedy tried to do away with it.
Well,
Ron Paul wants to fix it and control it. What's going on?
I would give you a parable. Can a leopard change its spots? The Federal Reserve is nothing to do with the federal government. It's the international bankers that created the problem that are going to do away with themselves. And it's kind of like the way the Soviet Union did away with the old Russia and came on with the new Russia. There's nothing changing hands. And forgive me, the name may change. The group of men behind the scenes will never change.
Chemtrails, what do you think's going on there?
Well, I think chemtrails are a basic, and again, as Will Thomas said, I was the first guy to ever make chemtrails known to the public. And as I have talked to numerous intelligence military people over the years, first of all, the thing was sold. Dr. Teller, the former head of MAGIC, and you know, we both you've had enough people talking about Majestic 12. They would basically try and deflect the solar storm radiation that's coming. See, they know what's coming, and the thing is into the upper atmosphere. But then somebody got the bright idea. This is a great way to pre-position antibodies and different singular components of a binary mass chemical poisoning of the Earth. See, guess what? These guys get together and they decide who can kill more people with less money, because, of course, nobody wants to give their money away, so the ultimate greed mongers. And thirdly, in other words, it's a introduction into our atmosphere of the different substances that are wearing down our immune systems. For instance, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. There was no RSV to the degree there was until the spraying started. We're seeing the genetic alteration of our crops, some of the binders in the chemtrail spray. And Curtis, Cliff Carnicom, you've had him on, right?
I can't recall.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Okay, people think chemtrails are fake. I want to give them a website. It's a scientific website. It's Carnicom, CARNICOM.com. And go on there and look at his photo microgas. By the way, the guy's got credentials. And thirdly, I'm sorry, the first thing is supposedly to reflect the sunlight back in the upper atmosphere. That was the, you know, there's even a patent that matches that. Then the second is the introduction of a primary component in a binary chemical weapon or biological weapon that basically softens us all up so when they decide to give the kill shot, we're toast. And thirdly, the atmosphere for the giants was different, and that's, you know, you can talk about the firmament that went out of the mist in the book of Genesis, but they're actually changing us. You'd like this? It's a V thing, George. They're actually changing us mutagenically to be more tasty to them, and it gets right back to your, my favorite Twilight Zone, To Serve Man.
One of the best.
Yep.
Let's go to Philip in Billings, Montana, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Philip.
Good evening, Stephen and George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Now, Stephen, you do realize that at the Cannibal Cafe, it costs you an arm and a leg.
Yes, I've heard that before.
You talk a lot about religion and money, and a lot about wars being started and controlled by the moneyed elite. Are you familiar with the book, The Money Matrix of the New World Order? Because it has fat chapters in there that are right down your alley.
Yes, sir. I read it years ago, and the thing is that, it's not religion. In my book, the religions of this world are different than the relationship that, you know, that is offered to people that want to take God as word. But let's just go to the word money, okay? The control of money or the love of money is what these guys factor in. So when you control the money, you control the people. A good example, dry up the money available to mortgages, and guess what? No one can refinance, and all the people go out on the streets. Now, who ends up with all those empty and dormant homes, you know, outside of squatters? The point is that somebody is packaging all the repossessed homes, making a financial instrument, and then doing the same thing they did. It's not enough to basically take you down to the bones, and they got to grind your bones to make their bread. You know, it's a fee-fi-fo-fum deal.
Cliff was on with us on a weekend about a year plus ago, I guess. Carnicon.
Yeah.
Let's go to James, truck driving east of the Rockies. Go ahead, James.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Stay Hello, James.
There was a special on TV the other night about the lights. They were over, like, fractures in the earth. And this scientist they had on there, he showed what caused some of the lights. And he put pressure on the rock on a piece of granite.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused an electrical charge to come out of the rock. And God has given me a revelation. And what it is the pyramids, there's so much weight there that, and all those rocks inside the pyramid, they're connected by metal, copper and bronze, I believe. And you have all that weight, and that is causing an electrical charge to be emanated. Because I heard that if you go around the pyramids with a compass, no matter which side you go to, it always points to north. And I believe that the pyramid there at Cheops, and by the way, Cheops, Ops is where combat is performed on board a Navy ship. You go to Operations Ops, that's where combat operations are performed.
Right.
And it's all right in front of us in the Word.
Well, Christopher Dunn believes that the pyramids, the Great Pyramid at Giza, for example, is a power plant, Stephen. You know, he has said that all along. Let's go to Steve with us.
Yeah, I'm just listening. I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to talk over you, George. You know, the thing about the interesting pyramids is literally, Isaiah, there's a passage in the Old Testament that talks about God's boundary marker, okay? And you know, who built the Great Pyramids? Well, isn't it interesting that the Great Pyramids of Giza are also on the Cydonia Plain, and the geographic coordinates to the equator of Mars and all of its relationship to the surrounding pyramids is the same thing that Dave Flynn wrote about in Sidonian. By the way, if anybody wants the last copies of that book, I have it. And I would say this to the serious scholar, you should get that book because I doubt it. It'll be reprinted. And, you know, that can be had by calling my store, too, at 1-800. I'm sorry, at 1-800. I'm sorry, George, 406-586-4840, 406-586-4840. If you understand Cydonia, you'll understand where we get so many words on Earth. You and I did a show, too. One of the things that we were talking about is the Nazis in the Antarctic and what's called New Schwabenland. And the what would be the Martian bacteria or life forms that were basically blasted into the Earth, and now we're hearing all the real truth about that stuff. So Mars is critical to understanding. And Phobos and Deimos, what does the word Phobos mean? It's the Greek word for a phobia or fear. Deimos or Deimos, some people pronounce it, means demon. Well, a demon is a disembodied spirit. So how come somebody all of a sudden names, you know, the two small moons of Mars, fear and demons? And then Mars obviously is the Roman war god, and the thing is that you've got this whole thing with war, rebellion, and it all goes back to the devil and his angels fought against Michael and his angels, and their place was no longer found in heaven. It is a spiritual thing. The history of the world says it's a spiritual thing. The gods, the fallen angels, were always worshipped as gods, and they probably said one to another, hey, this is a great deal. Look at all the power we'll have. And the thing is that the God who created them said, nothing doing. And the thing is, the battle's on. And that's what gets to play out. It's one thing to talk about all the things that are invisible to us at night or during the day and a night. But what happens when man, in his tampering with the space-time continuum and all of his electromagnetic play toys, when they literally rip open those doors and all the stuff that they thought were basically just showing on big screens become literally in their living room, not by way of the screen, but they're really there. And us, when we're back, and we're back has no channel to turn off.
Okay, next up we go to Alberta, Canada, first-time caller. Gene, you're up with us. Hi, Gene, go ahead.
Hi, how are you all tonight?
All is well, Gene.
Yeah. Hey, I had a kind of a question for you guys. I was wondering, Josephus recorded in 64, that in 64 AD, a Roman whatever, governor or whatever, built a temple to some god across the street from the Jewish temple and placed the Roman eagle, a big Roman eagle, above the east gate to the Jerusalem temple, which symbolically, the east gate is the entrance of Messiah. So symbolically, he's placing the political, economic, religious symbol of man ruling over man. And my question is, I guess, is Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, and 2,000 years ago, the Jews the Jews called the abomination of desolation in a slaying way the Roman eagle. And so I was wondering if symbolically, there was something that when you see this get out of Jerusalem, and then several years later, you know, physically the Roman armies then did surround Jerusalem, and then, you know, it was...
All right, what's the question, though, Gene?
The question is If there's something that they were supposed to look for, and it became so evident of this man ruling over man, and those people that recognized that was able to get out of the city before the devastation of 70 A.D., do you think maybe we should be looking for a similar type of a symbolism of?
All right, well, let's find out when we come back.
That is a good question.
Hold on, we'll be right back. StreamLink for just pennies a day. You can sign up for StreamLink by going to coasttocoastam.com, where you get podcasting, special downloads, past archive programs, and even your iPhone app. StreamLink, part of Coast to Coast AM. Now, if you don't get in this half hour, don't worry about it. We've still got another final hour of calls to go next hour with Stephen Quayle. Stephen, Gene from Alberta was asking about symbolism of events, citing old Roman times, and... Do you see similar things happening now?
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's what Anubis is, okay? Because here's the deal. I think the Illuminati and the Egyptian priesthood, and I'm talking about, if anybody knows what Manetho's Table of Kings is, we're talking about stuff that goes way, way back into the realm of angels, fallen angels on earth and stuff. But I think that Anubis, the death, if you will, the death statue, coming into the harbor with a suitcase, one of my very dear friends, Sue, just sent me an email saying that, is that suitcase representative of the suitcase news? Is it a representative of, you know, basically something that's to be delivered to the United States? I think what's happened is that what Gene is talking about is that the people that see all this stuff, George, is why do some see it and why don't others? And I know some people just hate it when I quote it, but the bottom line is that the wise will see and understand. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I get emails when I'm talking to you. And look, if you're the designer of someone or the creator of the universe, you're trying to tell people what not to do, and they keep telling you, you know, you have no right or authority over them, then the point is that you're probably going to let them have their way. And when they have their way, it's to fulfill scripture that hearing they hear or seeing they see not and hearing they hear not, because their hearts are hardened. And what I'm trying to get people to do is by helping others, and seriously, I'm not talking about sending anything to anybody. I'm saying, how about the guy that just lost his home, or the guy that just lost his life, or a child's life or something? Do something to start caring and break this sadistic cycle from hell that these monsters, and look, I don't know, there's no metaphors for them anymore. If some guy's getting a $1 billion bonus, that $1 billion could keep 10,000 employees employed. It's insanity. It's the ultimate expression of greed and lust. And one thing about lust, okay, lust is an appetite that can never be satisfied. It can't, because it's an unnatural thing. So when these guys lust for power, I'm talking the international financial elite, the Illuminati, ultimately when they have nothing left to consume by the population, they turn on each other, because there's always, at the end of the day, one king or one kid that's going to be king of the block.
You got it. Next up, let's go to Patty in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Patty.
Hi, sweetie. How are you all tonight?
We're all great. Thank you.
Good, good. I wanted to ask Steve a question about, I know there's a spiritual war going on right above our heads, and I know that certain people have developed some sort of goggles or something that we can see, you know, all these spiritual entities up there going around with it. So do you know anything about that? Have you had any dealings with that? And how can we get spiritually stronger?
Well, I think the idea of spiritual strength comes from, what are you eating? What are you looking at? What are you taking in? You know, somebody once said it's tough to soar like an eagle when you basically got to run with turkeys. And what I mean by that is you need to really, and I would assume you need to focus on the problem and ask God to give you strength and bring people of like mind into your parameter. I find so many non-like-minded people because everybody's got their own agenda. The only way to have strength is to basically sync up and link up with people who have the same agenda. And I mean that in a godly way. Spiritual warfare, the most important thing I know is to pray for discernment. Discernment is something that's given by God. I'm not talking about earthly discernment. I'm talking about spiritual discernment. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible promises that God is a good God and he gives good gifts to men.
Okay, we now have Joanna in Anchorage, Alaska. It's your turn. Hi, Joanna.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about the senses. In the First Chronicles, chapter 21, God is against senses. How do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you, George, because my phone is not
against that. Against census taking, I guess.
Well, first of all, census, okay, the bottom line is I'm totally opposed to the census. The only thing I agree to tell them is how many people are in the home, because that's all they have the authority to do.
Right.
The invasive nature of it, there's something more. How can they even in clear conscience say that the information is correct when every major government computer has been cracked or hacked, when every major defense computer, just about with maybe one or two exceptions, is stolen, or some idiot leaves it on the front seat of his car and the car gets broken into, an entire security files of the United States. There are no more secrets, okay? There is no such thing. There is no such thing as the ability to encrypt your files. There are different levels of files, but if somebody's got the hands on the mainspring, if you will, anybody can know anything on anybody at any time. So I am opposed to it, and I hope that's, and I think if everybody just wrote the number and sent them in, you know, and somebody says, well, they'll fine me $500. Well, I'll tell you what, not if everybody did it. And so I hope that answers your question.
Very good. We'll go to now Joaquin in Santa Cruz, California. You're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi, Joaquin.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Steve Quayle, how you guys doing out there? You're doing a good job over there, Steve Quayle. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
But you know what, man? Yeah, you're saying the truth, man. I feel like this whole doggone planet is like a runaway train, you know. How do you stop it? You have to blow it up or something. But, yeah, you know, I feel this capitalist, this running away with the money and forgetting about the poor. I mean, I just went outside to put a blanket on this, good drunk. He's outside, but it's so cold outside. I just went out there to put a blanket on him. But this is the problem. It seems like rich, powerful, they forget what's going on down here. I've only been making about $17,000 a year for the last 25 years, but I've been surviving. This Chinese that are poisoning us in their food, dog food and stuff, and the drywall and stuff. Why? I mean, all we do is just slap them in the hand about that, and about the miners that just died and stuff. $1 million fine. This house in the corner costs more than $1 million. I mean, they should fine them a whole bunch more. And I feel that the United States is breeding angry, greedy, aggressive people.
Well, that's on purpose, Joaquin. That is exactly what they want. They want to turn everybody against everybody. Not only do they want the destruction of the middle class, okay, they want everybody to turn on everybody because, listen, their motto of the Illuminati, and this is something that most people forget, the Illuminated ones, order out of chaos. In other words, they cannot have their new world order without a total destruction of the old world order. So the point is that that's why when you're talking any type of Cold War planning, listen, this is just nothing more than a KGB script happening right now. I don't know who's in the background, George, talking about, you know, the Russian situation, but that guy's right on. I mean, we have done more to our citizens than Russia did to theirs. And by the way, it wasn't enough to do that. We had to hire their number one spy master to set up complete internal passport controls in this country. See, it's amazing because little by little, everything that's freedom or everything that freedom represented is eroding away. And I've been told that someone who knows the man that is literally the Antichrist has said that even and he was mocking God with this statement, even that which is written in stone can be eroded over time with a perpetual dripping of water. Okay, so that's one of the things people see when judgment falls on a nation, it either comes swiftly like Sodom and Gomorrah, or it just chips away, or basically erodes away. And that's what freedom. That's what happens with freedom. The people that want to destroy everyone on this planet, they'll take three steps forward, and so what if they have to back up one step? They're still two steps further ahead than they were the previous night.
Did your source tell you who the Antichrist might be?
Well, listen, and the deal is there's different candidates for it. And see, again, that's the thing, George, rather than say it, I mean, there are some people that will, you know, say it's this guy or that guy. There's a difference between the throne, if you will, the successionary throne of the Antichrist and the literal Antichrist. And so the thing that I'm talking about, this anti doesn't mean against, it means in place of, okay? And so we're right now on the verge, in my opinion, of Gog-Magog war, and that's in Ezekiel 38. And so for people that have never read the Old Testament prophets, they might do well to get a Bible they can read, you know, King James and in modern English, and just see the confederation that's forming against us. The caller is bringing up a good point about China. The borrower is servant to the lender. I was told by my sources, and I'll put them up against anybody's skepticism, that that we had to agree to give the Chinese government 11 trillion Ameros. The Amero is a new currency that's sitting waiting for the right opportunity. Canada, Mexico, and the United States have a joint currency. And by the way, all the pictures that are on the internet of all the Mexican special forces and everything and this battle that's spilling over into Texas and Arizona, people better realize this, that our NORTHCOM controls all that. So the point is that in name, there is no North American Union openly. In practicality and functionally, it's full scale and full bore. But I share your, and thank you, seriously. Joaquin, thank you for putting a blanket on that man. I seriously thank you for that. I wish that everybody who could think what they would like to have done unto them if they were out there cold, naked, and hungry. You see, we've lost that thing that made America so great. It's not only, look, I know how to pull. By the grace of God, I was able to prosper in this country. You come too, and I'll teach you how to do it. Now it's each man does right, what's right in his own sight, and he doesn't care about anybody else.
Okay, let's go to Boston. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
George, yeah, great show. You and Steve, this is for both of you. I know you're an old Navy man, George. I come from an old-line Patriot family. My ancestor fought on Bunker Hill. A friend of mine, right now there are literally tens of thousands of Chinese communist students studying around Boston, and they march around in huge groups of 200 or 300, like across the common and stuff. And I want to say I'm not xenophobic. I have many Chinese friends. I actually participated in a Falun Gong protest. That's the mm-hmm. freedom group in China. But now this is, we talk about symbols and revering our flag and God and stuff. A friend of mine is a cadet at the very old and prestigious Massachusetts Maritime Academy. Cadets, as you know, George, have always gone on to make top naval officers, Coast right. Guard, and Merchant Marine. There are now Chinese students at this Maritime Academy, too. And every Friday morning, George, all of the cadets, Americans included, are made to salute the Chinese Communist flag. Communist flag. And if they refuse, they face demerits and expulsion and humiliation in front of the other cadets. I'm sorry, I get a little emotional. I have never
heard that, Tom. I'm glad you pointed that out to us. That is incredible.
I'd just like to have your comments and Steve's comments if there's some kind of Chinese takeover happening inside the country. Thank you.
All right. That's appalling,
Steve. Yeah, it is. But the deal is that, and this is going to sound strange, they own the country. And I say that under the Bush administration, we had eyewitness accounts of Chinese military police landing in, I think it was Edmonds, Washington. I mean, I'm talking by the thousands. And somebody who was there, George, overlooking the whole unloading, basically said he never saw such discipline, and he was a Marine. He never saw such absolute perfect marching in his life. He never saw, and he said that they offloaded armor. And by the way, Chinese drive Humvees, okay? So the thing is that the Bush administration gave them the right to eminent domain and the right to enforce their commercial liens on U.S. property. So the thing is that the Roman Empire fell when obviously the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Ostrogoths, the barbarians, which used to be on their borders, came within the gates. And I'm telling you, the barbarians are the bankers, okay? And the thing is that the class warfare that these individuals are initiating, and that's, I'm saying now to any gang member out there, guys, you're being sold a bill of goods. To those of you that are dealing in arms and being sold arms, open your eyes. These guys want it all to come down. They want everybody to kill everybody off. And I am praying, George, with all my might, that they're going to be exposed. That means that the power brokers who are doing this, that it's going to come out. And I think that's one of the things that the web bots, you know, when I talk on your show, people go out and obviously they talk and they say I'm crazy or whatever, but the information gets out there. And the thing is that information goes into the stream that's picked up as they go out and vacuum all the information with their spiders and crawlers and their proprietary software. But I don't think what people recognize is that we don't have a country anymore. And if you see all the lobbyists and you track back the money, and when you take the gross domestic product of the United States, let's say $12 trillion a good year, and the Chinese are very smart people. Listen, you're talking about a dynastic ruling group of people versus a 300-year-old. I mean, when you take the Ming Dynasty and some of the different Shang dynasties and all the dynasties in China and what China invented, we don't even begin to understand their work ethic or their thoughts or the way they do. Listen, I live in Bozeman, Montana. And Bozeman, Montana, probably at the university, has, I would say, anywhere between 400 to 600 Chinese students. And it's a university of 10,000.
Let's go to JB in Houston, Texas. Hi, JB, go ahead.
All right. I sure appreciate y'all's show. You have a super amount of material coming out tonight, man.
Thank you.
Listen, I want you to know who has the best think tanks, the best advisors, the best sources, and every kind of possible way to figure any strategy to make this country better? The government. But what do they want to do? They want to have power and control. And, you know, it makes me sick to see what's going on. The only thing I can say is, Ms. Stephen, well, I used to listen to you when you were on the shortwave station out of Nashville and, you know, on the Stan Solomon show and everything.
Oh, yeah, WWCR and stuff.
Yeah. And could you comment on that sources that they have, the best in the world? I mean, they had the best sources in the world when Waco went down. They didn't listen to them then, and they're not listening to them now. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Well, when you have an agenda, you're not open to outside input, and you try to control your outside input. And that warning I read just earlier about the Presidential Decision Directive changing the constitutional order of succession. See, here's what the big thing is once a tyrant or groups of tyrants seize power, they never will yield it back. And their goal is to consolidate that power, to bring everything they can under the control, and to silence all opposition. I would like to say to everyone out there that is a former intelligence officer, that is a former spy, a former somebody that you fought for your country, you have friends whose names are stars on the wall at Langley, consider what's going on. Same thing in the U.S. military. Those of you who still take your oaths of allegiance seriously, consider who's giving you the order. George, every single week, without exception, I have law enforcement guys that will sit around and say, Steve, we have the late night shift, and we listen to you. And he said, if we didn't see the foreign troops coming out at night, he said, we probably would say, he's just making that stuff up. But what he's telling me, and they are telling me, George, multiple people, multiple states, and they're telling a friend of mine, Greg Evenson, the same thing, is that, and former Kansas State trooper, that the point is that these guys are having, in their domestic police department, they're having to answer to, get this, foreign observers.
Well, when I just heard that, you know, these cadets have to salute the Chinese flag or they face expulsion and God knows what, that who knows what would happen after that.
Right. Well, see, and it's revolting, and so that's why the web bots are picking up. Listen, all of this tension, all of this disorder, all of this chaos is by design. This is being fomented by them. They will then blame it. See, this is the deal. You go out and you stir up the masses, then you create one of your own to infiltrate or exfiltrate a group and then cause trouble, and you bring disrespect on everything. I don't know any honest person, truly, in whatever movement that is out there trying to cause trouble. The only people I hear ever causing trouble are the guys that are trained by, you know, for instance, the FBI to go out and entrap a bunch of guys by, and I tell people, you'll always know who is the, let's just say this, the federal official in any group, because he's the guy that says, let's go bomb something.
Steve, when we come back, we'll take a final hour of phone calls. Those of you on hold, just stay there. We'll be right back.